Good evening, First Baptist Brandenburg. Hope you're having a great afternoon. I pray the Lord has blessed you in a very special way. Hope you enjoyed the worship Sunday and all that it meant into your life. I pray that you had a chance to worship. We sure miss those who can't be here. Your presence does make us all stronger, but we understand where you are, and we're just glad that you're tuning in. I hope tonight that you will be encouraged. I believe this to be so. I say it often. R.G. Lee, an old preacher that I heard when I was just a young boy, said, never been a spot in his life where a good sermon wouldn't pull him out. But I've needed a lot of pulling. I've needed a lot of out. And so sermons will help that. I've been preaching a series here I started last week. And the title of it is Antichrist, Tribulation, Millennial Rapture. What's it all about? Well, it's all about the second coming of Christ. Jesus is coming back. He is resurrected from the dead, and on his departure, he assures us he will be back. And it's going to be an exciting day for us. But he also tells the Christians, be looking for his coming. Be ready for his coming. I don't know about you, but sometimes, I remember years ago, I used to hear a lot of messages about the second coming of Christ. It's a tune-up. It's a preparation. It's a knowing that he's coming. And to know that someone's coming, we're always more prepared when they get there. And so the coming of Christ is real. And why it's really real, the scripture tells us that he comes when we least expect it. And so I don't know if you've been expecting it, but I haven't talked to many people because I've been working on these few sermons. Not many people just think, don't even think about it. Well, why? What you mean the second coming? Well, it is a spiritual journey. And being ready for his coming is a great part of it. So I want to preach that. I told you about the Antichrist, the tribulation, the rapture. I want to get into the tribulation period. It's a period where the New Testament church has been raptured out. I believe we're up with Christ in the glories. We're there. The devil is going to come upon this land. There's going to be a Antichrist. There's a lot of Antichrist, little Christ. But there will be one Antichrist. And he will be empowered by Satan himself. He will have powers that no one has ever seen. He'll have power that's so convincing that people just can't walk away from it. He will be evil above evil. And the day is coming where he's coming. And so in that period of time, if you do not respect the Antichrist, you'll be persecuted. You'll be killed. You'll be slaughtered. And so to stand up for evil in those days will cost you your eternity. I will tell you this. I really believe Christianity always prospers in persecution. When we are challenged to the most about our love for Christ and we stand for that and there's persecution, it strengthens us. Today in America, we are lazy. We are the apathy today about Christ and all that's going on in our lives. It needs to be increased with all the trauma in our lives, with our virus and all that's taking place and all the suffering and all the deaths and all those things are taking place. Hear very little about God on the media. Hear a little bit about God, about life. Let me tell you something. God is the answer to every situation in my life. But I want to encourage you. Let me tell you about the tribulation period. In the 24th chapter of Matthew, He nails this. It's a kind of a whole chapter talking about the tribulation. Now, there will be people saved in tribulation, but the tribulation period is specifically designed for the Jews. We're living in the era of the Gentile, the church age right now. And the tribulation period is going to be the children of God will be a focus to bring them back to clarity and back to the reverence and the respect of Jehovah God. And they will come and they will sacrifice their lives for that cause in those days. Today, the Orthodox Jew is waiting for his first coming. They denied his first coming. And so they're waiting for that. And they live in a dark era. They live in a persecution era. Nobody's ever been persecuted more than the Jews. So I want to share this with you about Jesus getting ready, getting the church ready, getting the world ready for his coming. Let me just ask you a question. Have you thought about the coming of Christ lately? Is it something on your radar? Is it something you pray about? Maranatha, come quickly, Lord. Help us. Father, I pray that you just come and just take us into the glories of heaven that we can live forever. It's going to be a great day. And I will tell you this. There's probably some lost people that you know that haven't been saved. What are you doing about that? You want your children all to be saved? What are you doing about that? Because I believe this. The longer God tarries, the more lost people there are in the world. It just is going to that era, in that time period. The walk in the power of Christ is being depleted. There's less people being saved in America today. I said this a couple of weeks ago. North America is the only continent in the world where Christianity is decreasing. Let me say it again. It's the only continent in the world where Christianity is on a decrease. Man, we've been the light to the world. We've been the way that God has blessed us. But the decreasing is there. Our baptism rates in Southern Baptist Convention and Kentucky Baptist are back in the 1950s. It's amazing. It's alarming. All that we are doing in church and the least that we are winning to Christ, it is phenomenal when you look at the numbers. It's mind-boggling. Come quickly, Lord. Come back. We need you more than ever. But we need, Father, your power while we're here to bring the people of Christ to the kingdom of God. That's the urgency. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when all these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? But they came privately to Jesus, and they wanted to know that Jesus is talking about his coming and his all of the great things that are taking place, and they want to get an inside story with Jesus. It's recorded here about what Jesus said about his coming. Now, I tell you this. He's coming. I haven't set my alarm clock, and I haven't marked a day on the calendar, but I know he's coming. I believe he's coming, and I want to be ready for his coming. He's telling the disciples how to get ready. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceives you. Because in this tribulation period, in the world we live in today, deception is running wild. It's amazing what people will believe. No one deceive you. For many will come in my name, saying I'm Christ, and will deceive many. There is more cults in America, more gods, little g, in the United States of America than we could ever imagine. It's phenomenal, the darkness of deception that's in our lives. I'm concerned about my grandchildren in the deception. I'm concerned that they don't get caught up in the movement of what's going through America today. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. You will see that, and they are trouble. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. All the wars and rumors of wars, man, it's a war zone every day. Somebody somewhere in this world is tempting and powering and pressuring. It's a war zone. He said, all these things are beginning of sorrows. When all this begins to take place, now let me share this with you. See, Jesus gives us signs to get us ready. He gives us some clarity of understanding about his coming. He says, now all these about wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes, these aren't the end, but it's leading to the end. It's on its way. And they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. In that day, stand for Jesus and they'll cut your head off. In those days, persecution is going to be phenomenal. We're going to read in Revelation later about how horrible that is. It's more than your imagination go. But remember this, when Satan himself is running the show completely, he is killed, steal, and destroy. He will just soon to murder anybody in the world at best in his life. He is evil. Let me tell you something. You know, misery likes comfort. You know, Jesus cast him to hell. You know, he's in hell. He's there too. And he is suffering so bad. The only relief he can get is making people suffer with him. And so Satan will be loosened. He said, then many will be offered, offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. There'll be a lot of offensive going on. There'll be a lot of bickering between good people that begin to turn inward. If I've seen anything in this pandemic, it's alarming what I've seen there. For many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. There's more in America than ever. Around the world, it's amazing. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Lawlessness. Have you ever seen lawlessness in America like you have today? And we've all seen spurts of it. We remember in the 60s, we remember in the 80s, we remember those days. But lawlessness today has just seemed to be, wow, how's this going to end? This isn't looking good. It's really for a long period of time. It's happening. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the world as a witness to all the nations, and the end will come. Today in America, around the world today, we can share the love of Christ around this world. It's phenomenal how we have means to doing that in special ways. I got people in Africa watching the service at First Baptist Brandenburg. It's kind of weird. He said, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, saying in a holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Daniel prophesied this years earlier in the Old Testament. You need to read that chapter. And he prophesies about this destruction is going to come. He said, let those who are in Judah flee from the mountains. There in that holy land, flee to the mountains. I mean, there's going to be destruction. Now, listen to what he says. Gives you some insight about this tribulation. Let him who's on the housetop not come down and take anything out of his house. Let him who's in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. Now, it's kind of weird on the Sabbath. You know why you don't want it on the Sabbath? Because the law says you can't be running on the Sabbath. He said, just pray that it's in a good time for you. He said, for then there will be tribulation that has not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No one ever shall be. Unless those days are shortened, no flesh would be saved. For the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For the false Christ and the false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders, so as to deceive, if possible, even the elect. So I've told you beforehand, therefore, if you say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out, or look, he is in the inner room, but do not believe it. You can't believe anything you hear in those days. The deception, the evil will be running loose in this tribulation period. It's going to be a phenomenal time. In Revelation chapter 17, it gives us a picture of some of the happenings that will take place in chapter 17, verse 1 through 6. Then one of the seven angels who laid the seven bowls upon and talked with me, saying to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters. That's the Antichrist. He said, let me give you a picture of this guy, this one person, the devil himself breathed into and have empowered, and he can do a lot of powerful things. With whom the king of the earth committed fornication. The inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which is full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple, scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abomination and the filthiness of her fornication. There was this beautiful creature that was spreading all the evil, the gold and the peril of nice. It was an abomination of the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead, the name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of the harlots and the abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with her great amazement. He says, when I saw her, I saw the saints with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. They were slain in the streets. If they would not take the stamp of the beast, they were killed immediately. The stamp of the beast was to be in alliance with the Antichrist. He's going to promise you everything and do nothing but kill you in the end. But for those who would not take that mark, they'll be slain everywhere. Listen to this. And he says, and saints in the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I was marveled at her amazement. I was marveled at how she appeared. I was marveled at what she did. See, the tribulation period is going to be a horrible time. And do not be deceived. I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be raptured out of this place. Thank God. These are for the Jews. These are for God's children. Now, the best I can understand, there's going to be a great revival. Even though the Antichrist is running loose, there's going to be many saved. Many will die for Christ that day. Let me ask you something. Would you be interested in being saved if it cost you your head? That's a big decision. Aren't you glad by grace today we can come by the freedom of will? But in those days, if you deny this Antichrist, he will kill you. That's a tough choice. But thank God in that day, the children of God are going to cry out to a holy God that's bigger in the majesty of his creation, his love, and to be willing to die for him. Be willing to die for him. We don't even like suffering for him. But in those days, there's going to be great revival for those who will come to know Christ as their personal Savior. He will be able to do all kind of magic. His powers are going to be phenomenal. It'll be so convincing. How could you not believe it? All those things are going to take place. But many will be saved. It'll be a great moment for the kingdom of God. In Revelation chapter 20, he rushes as after this 7 years of persecution. The devil is going to be locked up in a pit and all of his angels. There's going to be a 1,000-year reign here on the earth, a millennial period, 1,000 years. And those who were saved in this tribulation, those of God's children for the elect, is going to come through this. And they're going to live with some peace and tranquility for 1,000 years on this earth and just the blessings to come to follow that. Let me read that to you in Revelation chapter 20. And I want to share with you, let me find the scripture. Chapter 20, verses 1 through 10. I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the keys to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Now, see this creature coming down. He's got the keys in his hand and a chain for the bottomless pit. And laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. I'd like to see that. I mean, God's going to send down this massive being, going to grab Satan by the neck and take him and all of his followers. The Bible says he has laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He tells us every understanding of what the devil is. Every name is there. And he cast him in the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should not deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years was finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. And I saw the thrones that had sat on them, and the judgment was committed to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the witness of Jesus and the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast in his image, who had not received his mark of his foreheads on his hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. This tribulation period is going to be painful, and it's going to be persecution and slaughter for those who will not bow down to evil. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years was finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed the holy is he who is part of the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But he shall be priest of God and of Christ and shall reign with them 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years were expired, Satan will be released from his prison. I want to stop there because that's the 1,000-year reign. Now, after that 1,000-year reign comes, God's going to come, step out of glory. And man, it's going to be a day. I mean, it's going to be the final finale. All of God's children, those who lived through the church age, those who lived through the tribulation period, those who lived with the prophets, that day he will come and he will take Satan himself and cast him into the pits of hell and seal it. And hell will rage with flames and suffering for never, never an end. The reason why we need to be ready for the coming of Christ, number one, he's coming. And number two, you want to be ready. And number three, you want everybody you love to be ready. And you want everybody you don't even like to be ready. You don't want anybody to suffer in this period of time. What does it mean? Christ is real. He really rose from the dead. He really is coming back. He really will display his power throughout this tribulation period in the very end and all that's going to happen in our life. It's a picture of what God has in store for all of us for the kingdom of Christ. Now, how do you get ready for this? I have a list called my top 10 most wanted list. I have a list of my top 10 most wanted. People I love that aren't saved. People I know that if they die, they wouldn't go to heaven. How I get ready for this, I pray for them every day. I pray because God hears my prayers. That's how we get ready for this. We begin faithful to God. We become a brighter light. We become a more powerful power of the Holy Spirit in our life because He's coming. And it's going to be horrible. And you don't want anybody in your family, to anybody you know, to go through this. That's how I get ready for it. I begin to pray. I begin to witness. I have a goal in my life. I don't always hit my goal, but I try. May there never be a day go by that I don't talk to somebody about Jesus and His Savior. And I pray. And you know what? Here's what I know. When I pray that prayer, when I wake up in the morning, God always gives me a shot. He opens it up for me. He always positions me. You know why? Because I'm looking for the fields that are white for harvest. I'm looking for those who aren't looking. I'm there to be the warning. I'm there to share the love of Christ. And when you begin to ask God to favor you, that you can find somebody that you can share the love of Christ, you'll find it that day. He'll provide that for you that day. Because He's God. He'll answer your prayer. That's how you get ready. I know there's a pandemic going on. And I know there's a lot of people going to hell every day. And I know the church has been neutralized in so many different ways. And here's what happens when we slow down. We start talking about us. We get helped. How do we get back? How do we get strong? How do we get back in fellowship? How do we see each other? But the whole world who is lost and going to hell, we don't even think about them. I'm concerned about those who may get a fever from this pandemic, but I'm really concerned about those who will die and go to hell because the church has been neutralized and stopped inoperative for the fields that are white for harvest. We are doing everything we can to get us back into worship, to get us all the church open. But how do you get ready for the coming of Christ? When you go to work, ask God to tell you somebody you can help. When you're going shopping at Walmart, share your Christ with them. It's phenomenal. That's what you do when you really believe He's coming. You really become activated in the call of God in my life. How will they get saved until somebody tells them? How will they know? I had a privilege last week of leading a person on my top 10 list to Jesus. It was a wonderful moment for me. I'm praying for the new top 10. I'm looking for a numbered place. And you know what I tell people on my top 10 list? I tell them they're on it. In a roundabout way, I just say, I care so much about you. I got a top 10 list. The people that I'm praying for to make it to heaven, make sure they get to heaven, and I've just put your name on it. I just had an opening. One went to heaven. One's on ready to go to heaven. So I want you to be ready to witness. I don't tell you all this message about tribulation, Antichrist, and millennial just for information. He give us this so we'll be ready to go when the evil shows up. We're greater than he that lives within us than in the world. Pay attention. Jesus is coming. Are your children saved? Are your grandchildren saved? Is your mate saved? Is your co-worker saved? And the tragedy of it is many of you don't even know. Don't even realize it. You think that's a private matter and you shouldn't get involved with it. Well, light always gets involved with darkness. Salt always hits the sore spot. And that's who we are. We can't do anything. But God can do anything. Just bring Him up and let people know He's coming back. Let them know He's already come once, but He's coming again. I pray you'll be in the rapture. I pray we'll see all this unfold. But in the meantime, Jesus is ready. He's coming. Let's be active right now. May the Lord bless us. Let me ask you right now. You may not have a top 10 list, but how about a top 2? How about a top 1? Someone that you know, you mention their name every day. Show me how, God. Or God, maybe somebody down there in Florida. I have a friend in Florida. I'm praying, God, whatever it takes, put somebody in his path. Put somebody in his path, talking about Jesus. Let's be on point, because the point is, Jesus is coming. Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you for who you are and what you do. We thank you you're going to come. We thank you've come to us to give your life, that we can become a member today in the kingdom of God. Thank you for what you're going to do and have done. But Father, let us not be asleep. Let us not faint in well-doing. Let's love people in the words of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Go get them. Sick them.